Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thousands of Jews from all over the Mediterranean Sea gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. That was 50 days after Passover and 50 days after Jesus' death and resurrection. The Feast of Weeks expressed thanks to God for his bounty over harvest. Before Pentecost marked the end of the barley harvest and the beginning of the wheat harvest in Israel. The Jews offered to God the first fruits of their harvest, especially the wheat harvest and of the fruits of the trees. And during this festival, the book of Ruth was read to the people. However, the Pentecost that we celebrate was special. The people in Jerusalem woke up and heard the sound of a hurricane or tornado-like wind. And as they went out, they found a small group of apostles. And on them, the Holy Spirit had put fire, things like a fire standing above their heads. And they spoke in different languages of the people that were there. The people were amazed that these disciples who were from Galilee hardly knew any language, could speak language, their own native language. So how are these 12 apostles going to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? These apostles by themselves were powerless, easily frightened, and unorganized. But the sound of the wind, the sight of the flame, and the different languages showed that these apostles had a helper, someone whom God had sent to help them. And on that Pentecost, the Holy Spirit moved Peter to proclaim the gospel. He told them about the history of Israel. He told them about the Messiah. He said that they had killed the Messiah. And when they were questioned, he told them to repent and be baptized and to have the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people were baptized that day, not because of Peter was so eloquent, but because the Holy Spirit opened their hearts to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. On that day, we see the evidence of the Holy Spirit's work. And he continues that work throughout the church in bringing people to hear the word and to believe on Jesus as their Savior. Our Pentecost Sunday celebrates the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to send the Spirit to his church. And we rejoice that he has done so for us as well. For today, we thank God for giving us the Spirit of truth, so that we know the truth and we can be certain what is the true way to heaven. And we can also thank God that he has sent his Spirit to give us faith, faith in Jesus as our Savior, so that he can abide with us and that he can lead us on the way to eternal life in heaven. The text for Pentecost Sunday is written in the 14th chapter of John, beginning at the 15th verse, where Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen." Dear thankful recipients of the Spirit of Truth, our Pentecost celebration today is also a harvest celebration as well. For on this day, we thank God for the great harvest of souls that he has brought to this church, to our synod, and to the people in the world, all over the world. For the Holy Spirit continues to bring people to faith through his word and sacraments. Since the Holy Spirit is so important to our faith, we examine today the promise of our Savior so that we may appreciate his gift. On the basis of our text, we see that Jesus sends us another helper. Jesus promises to send us the helper who abides with us, the comforter who tells us the truth, and the Spirit who keeps us faithful. American religion pushes the idea that we can believe by our own power and might when we decide to have faith. Then we need to make our faith stronger and work hard as Christians by fighting the devil, resisting temptation, reading the Bible, and praying a lot. The more we do these things, the more blessings God will give us, and the greater our faith, and the more we'll be close to God. And thus, we need little or no help in living in this world as Christians, for God is testing our devotion to Him. Dear friends, such a religion is a spiritual disaster. We do not have power to stand against the powers of Satan in the world, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And we will fail if we stand against the opposition of the world by our own strength, for we're not strong enough. And we have our own terrorist inside of ourselves, that is, the old Adam, the old sinful nature that fights against our faith, that wants to rob us of our faith, to turn us into the ways of the world and into temptation and turn us away from faith in Jesus. So Jesus knows what we need, even better than ourselves. When he told the disciples that he is going to the Father, he says, "I will not leave you orphans." The word orphan gives the impression of a child left by himself, unable to help himself, unable to do anything. Jesus did not leave us an orphan. He promised in our text that he would come to us, but he also promised to send the Holy Spirit. It is, he said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he might abide with you forever." The Greek word for helper is paraclete, and there are different ways of translating that word. The Greek word means to one who stands beside you, and some translations will use the word advocate, as in lawyer. The Holy Spirit is our lawyer before God to intercede for us. But there's another word the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is also our comforter, and he is the one who hears and teaches us. And since our baptism, the Holy Spirit has dwelt in us to give us help in all of our need, to help us to grow in our faith. Dr. Luther said, "The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gift and sanctified and kept me in the true faith." And the reason he says that is because before he says, "I cannot by my own power believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him." We cannot do this, but it is the Holy Spirit that brings us to faith, as we said in our Bible class today. Now, some people think that we must have the evidence of the Holy Spirit in us somehow in order to know that he's helping us and with us. And so they point to speaking in tongues, like at Pentecost, the disciples spoke in different languages, or healing or discernment or some other way in which the Holy Spirit is in us and being on fire for the Lord. But our text says that we don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit being with us. The Holy Spirit is with us wherever and whenever we hear his word. He's always with us as children of God. And he's also always working on our hearts to increase our faith, to help us to trust in him. We don't have to worry or try and pray him into our hearts because he's there. What a blessing that is. He's there to help us. He's there to turn us away from temptations. He's there to strengthen our faith and trust in God. We are not orphans. Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth as well. And through his word, our Comforter reveals the truth about sin and the truth about our Savior. That is another translation of the word paraclete, the word comforter, the one who stands beside us to help us. The Holy Spirit comforts our restless hearts with the message of faith. The Christian religion is founded on the truths that are revealed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." And he added, "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Why is this important? Our culture says that there is no such thing as absolute truth, especially in religious matters. Everybody can believe whatever truth they want. It makes no difference. There is no absolute truth. The Christian religion rejects this. For Jesus had declared, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And since holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, we are to believe that the Bible is true for us. True, telling us the truth about our sins and about our Savior. The law is a truth that makes us uncomfortable. We have not kept God's commandments. Every person who is born in this world deserves God's eternal wrath because they have broken those commandments. And there is nothing that we can do to make up for our sins. Nothing. Because even as we try, we're committing more sins. You shall be perfect, the law says, as I am perfect. But the Holy Ghost gives us another message, a message of comfort, to comfort our restless souls, to comfort our anxiety when we wonder, will I make it to heaven? And that message is, we don't have to keep the law to get to heaven. Jesus has done it for us. He became man in order to be born under the law, in order to keep it for us perfectly. He is our substitute. He met God's righteous requirements. He was holy in our place. Jesus also had to suffer and die in our place, to take upon himself our sins, to shed his blood on the cross, to pay the penalty of death for us. This is God's love. This is the message, of true message of the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit wants us to know and to believe and trust in. The Bible declares that Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. This is the truth. The Holy Spirit has caused us to believe that truth. Now, the work of Jesus is complete. It is finished, as we said last Sunday. The work of the Holy Spirit is not complete. It's still going on. It's not that he hasn't completed it for those who have gone to heaven. But he's still out there calling people to faith, keeping us in the faith, guiding us on the way to eternal life. That's his work to do until Jesus comes again. That first Pentecost Sunday was just the beginning. Through the sound of the wind, the 1,000 people came to see the flames like fire over the disciples' head and to hear them speak in different languages. The Holy Spirit gave Peter the boldness to say, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and God Christ. The Holy Spirit led people to see the enormity of their sins in crucifying their Messiah. And as they repented, the Holy Spirit directed Peter to say, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the salvation of your souls. And 3,000 people were added to the church through baptism. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, calling people to faith, bringing them to know Jesus as their Savior. This is the news that comforts our souls as well. Through baptism, these people were given faith and connected to Jesus, the one who died for their sins. St. Paul declares, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit created faith in us through his word, in baptism or through the word. For the Bible says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. God's word is added to the water in baptism. As the Bible says, he saveth by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That faith that the Holy Spirit has given to us is genuine. It is saving faith. We can trust in the Holy Spirit's work. And so the comfort is that having been justified by faith in Christ Jesus, we have peace with God. What a comfort that is. We're not striving to find God. We're not striving to make God happy with us. The message is that God is with us, that God has forgiven our sins, that we are children of God through faith in Jesus, and that we are heirs of eternal life. Now, the Holy Spirit needs to continue that work in us as we are alive on earth. so that we may increase in our faith and live godly lives according to it. As we heard in one of our readings, the 3,000 people that were brought to faith and baptized on that Pentecost did not just stop there. We heard that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. These new believers continue to hear God's word, to know more about Jesus and what he has said. The Holy Spirit then works on us through the word to keep us in the faith. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Keeping God's word means to guard it from error. It means to hold on to it as our most precious possession. It means to ponder what it says to us about our faith and about our life. In our text, Jesus describes the fruits of faith as he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And again, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me." Now, dear friend, Jesus is not a new lawgiver. He's not a new Moses. His commandments are not something that we have to keep in order to get to heaven. But these are the fruits of faith that the Holy Spirit works in us. As Martin Luther says, that you faithfully preach my word is what Jesus' precepts are, that you have my word and sacraments, that you keep love and unity among yourself for my sake, that you suffer with patience whatever on this count comes upon you. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to help us to love one another and to love Jesus as the most important person in our life. What a blessing it is to know that the Holy Spirit cares about us, is with us, and comforts us, and helps us, teaches us, and is our advocate. He gives us the fruits of faith so that we may carry on this work: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Jesus adds one more word of comfort for us. He says, "Because I live," in our text, "you shall live also." Because I live, you also will live. This is the truth. We believe Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and is preparing a place for us, and as Good Shepherd is guiding us on the way to heaven through the work of the Holy Spirit. This is truth. You shall live also in heaven. That's what the Holy Spirit wants for us. May the Lord bless us as we rejoice in his word, as we use his help through word and sacraments to be assured of God's grace and be assured of eternal life. God grant this to us all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.